Hello and welcome to Eyewitness Beauty, the podcast where we talk about the biggest stories in the beauty industry each and every week. You know me, I'm Diamond. Nick will be joining us in a minute along with two guests. And when I say we cover the biggest stories in the beauty industry each week, this episode is the biggest story this week with our friends at Too Niche, the podcast where they do hauls every week of very niche categories of things that we all love. Nothing is too niche. I agree with that. It's hosted by Lara Marie Shanehalls and Elizabeth Knott. You might know them from Lara Does Sup. She does my favorite podcast, Babe. I have a parasocial relationship with her, like I talked about last week. And Elizabeth is just as lovely, and she has been podcasting since the dawn of time with That's So Retrograde. But the real story is, go over to Too Niche. You know how this works. They're going to send people to us to listen to Eyewitness. We're going to grow our audience. We're going to grow our Patreon, and we're not going to have to end the podcast. So go listen to Too Niche. They're great. They're hilarious, and they have good taste. They actually have a lot of beauty hauls, which I think you guys will like. Skincare routines, candles. They're candle girls. I am not a candle girl, but they even did luxury advent calendars. I love that. So without further ado, here is myself, Nick, Lara, and Elizabeth. And we are hauling our least favorite celebrity beauty brands.
This is a niche witness beauty mashup. And Annie and Nick, for our listeners, even though your listeners are hearing this, but maybe your listeners might want to know, like, how would you describe your show?
Well, apparently we're losing the plot, according to our latest reviewer.
Losing the plot.
We're losing the plot.
I feel like we started out as a hardcore beauty news, like the week's beauty news podcast. And we had, like many podcasts, a guest or an interview every week, and then very quickly realized that adding that moving part of having a third person to schedule around was making it too difficult to complete the task. And so it just became us. And now it's us talking. I think it's like it's pop culture through the lens of the beauty industry. Like, that's ultimately what we're talking about. And sometimes the beauty industry through the lens of pop culture.
Perfect. That's probably why I love it so much. I used to have an interview show for a number of years. And I think for me, at least as a listener, I love coming back to the same two people every single week. It feels like cozy, feels somewhat predictable in the way that feels safe.
I feel like the highs are lower and the lows are higher, like when it's just the two of you, versus like sometimes there's like a really good interview and sometimes it's not and you're still running it. And
yeah,
you ask yourself why.
In fact, we had a really good interview that we didn't run. We got in trouble for it too.
Which one?
Dorit.
We did interview Dorit. So it was the season where she really came out of her hair shell. And it was like, remember when she had like the silver goddess? Like, it was when she started, it was the beginning of that, in our defense. And we were like, we need to interview Dorit. She's the breakout star of Beverly Hills this season. We set it up with her publicist, who I ended up meeting a few years later, and told her this story. And she was like, you should have just said that, because like, I need to tell something to Dorit. Anyway, we interview her. It turns out she's about as interesting as she seems. And
PK came, she couldn't get the audio to work, and PK had to come and like help her. And it was just like, yeah, it was incredible.
But like, we just could not get an in, like there was just nothing interesting. Like she, and so we just didn't run it and never responded to the publicist.
I mean, it's a big ego hit. Yeah, when you do an interview and it doesn't run, but people just need to understand it's your show and you can call it if you feel it.
Yeah, I ended up running into that person and she was like, you should just have told me that, because I understand that.
But it's hard to communicate that about talent.
It's hard to be direct and honest.
Yeah. I had in my like early days of podcasting had almost every single cast member of Vanderpump Rules on like the first iteration of my podcast, which was called Pumped Podcast. And there came a point where I was like, why am I listening to Peter Madrigal talk about his short films that he directs like for 45 minutes?
I need to take back the control. So yeah, now it's just us. We're here to talk about celebrity beauty brands, and in particular, failed beauty brands. And my only caveat is that, you know, I feel like we should all be putting positivity, you know, into the world. And so the failure is not a personal failure of this person. It's a cultural flop. And we can all take some responsibility.
Can I offer this? I think part of making the world a more positive place is editing out the negativity. So that's what we're doing here.
Yeah. We like to keep the halls positive. So for your audience, how Too Niche works is every week we like to take a niche topic, trend, idea, and we deep dive into it by way of a haul. So today's topic is, should we say, challenged celebrity beauty brands? I think a great place to start is 2004, which when I think of celebrity beauty brand, I think of Desserts by Jessica Simpson. So it was shimmer infused and edible. That was really the what set it apart. There were body mists, lip glosses, body shimmers, bubble bath, and the thing I remember the most was the whipped body cream. And that one was in Sephora, I think we all remember. But then they did a offshoot for a younger demo called Dessert Treats in 2005 that was available at the drugstore. And then there was papers filed by Cosmojet, which was the manufacturer, that was claiming that Desserts owed $200,000 to the manufacturer, and then they stopped production in 2006. So it was like a short-lived...
Technically not a failed brand. It was quite popular, right?
I remember it sort of being everywhere, but I was also like an Us Weekly devotee at the time, and it was very much that.
Was she with Nick Lachey at the time? Like, was it a couple's like sexy time story that was happening?
I think that's what the edible aspect was.
I mean, I think it sounds like a great idea. I didn't try it. I don't think I had been in a Sephora. I don't think I was in a Sephora in 2004. I don't think I really knew what Sephora was. I was in 2004. I was in the closet. I was like, you know, deepening my voice and I don't even know what else, trying to learn how to play basketball. And I think this sounds great. I feel like it would be complicated from like a regulatory and consumer safety angle, because like how much of this can you eat? Probably not that much, like safely, right?
Yeah. And is it a food product or is it a cosmetic? Because those are two different organizations that you have to...
I think with the advancement of the wellness conversation that's taken place over the past 15 years, I don't even think like an edible product could even make it to market.
It sounds sticky too.
Sticky, sweet, vanilla forward is what I'm just guessing.
Yeah, it sounds like it would attract like bees and ants and like, I don't know. It sounds uncomfortable.
I feel like a sticky kind of tacky shimmer eye could be nice. And then if you're at like a rave and you like, I don't know, lick someone's eyelid or something, gets kind of sexy, then it tastes like sweet. You're excited. But it seems like good for party lifestyle. And I don't know how many of Jessica Simpson's fans were ravers.
Well, here's one point I might add, one wrinkle, is that technically all cosmetics are edible. So,
what?
Yeah, like any lipstick is edible. It's going in your mouth.
Mm.
And any foundation's edible. Like you've seen those girls on TikTok, they're putting foundation all over their lips. That's going in your mouth. You're eating it.
No.
So that's edible too. But this wasn't like sexy time, like lick. This wasn't like chocolate sauce you get at a sex shop, right? This was like actually supposed to be worn, right?
It's supposed to be worn. And I think like a fun bonus was if someone licks you, it's going to be like a sweet dessert. Yeah.
Oof. Yeah, but I guess like you don't really want to lick people on their face, nor do you want people to lick your face. So in theory, like I'm thinking of her with you era.
Mm-hmm.
In theory, it works, but in practice, they're like, no.
Let's also turn a mirror on ourselves, though. And like the fact that we were sexualizing Jessica Simpson at this point, here were the names of the products. It was all about kissing. Kissable hair and body treat. Kissable whipped body cream with candy sprinkles. Chocolicious shimmer body gloss. Powdered sugar kissable body shimmer. Kissable belly button love potion fragrance.
No.
No.
And there was something called kissable skin protein shake.
Oh,
and
no.
Something called hot body topping.
I cannot believe the protein shake. That is wild.
Do you remember, though, when Gwyneth Paltrow launched Goop skincare and she went on Jimmy Fallon and she took a French fry and dipped it in like a moisturizer and ate it? And
I do.
And that was like a big deal because it showed just how clean the products were.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember that. But my queen never fails to serve.
No. And it was a major serve because, again, any moisturizer you could eat. And she just did it on camera.
That's proving your point of the edibility. And I just want to close out Jessica Simpson dessert beauty. Or I'm a little unclear on the name, but just to say that she went on to create her own brand and license her own name. And allegedly that's valued at $1 billion. So like this was a great starting point. And I tip my hat.
Me too.
Yeah. So I give it an A.
Okay. Our first brand that is still with us, unlike dessert, but we just feel has lost the plot, is Pleasing by Harry Styles. I've long had an issue with Harry Styles and this idea that he's like gender bending or androgynous in any way, when the only times where he's seen in a skirt are for like a Vogue shoot with David Sims. It's like it's not true. It's ridiculous. This like idea that he is at all like, you know, blurring lines. Anyway, he launched Pleasing by Harry Styles. It was a huge success.
You prefer like a more genuine, like Jacob Elordi with a Bottega like messenger bag. Just
pop. Well, at least those are like off-duty looks. Like when you look at, it's not like Harry Styles is wearing skirts in the street. He's wearing skirts on the cover of Vogue, which I'm less impressed. But when he launched Pleasing with nail polishes, they like sold out in a second. And like I tried the nail polishes and they're like kind of cool colors and shapes, but I was like, who's buying this and like, who is it for? But at least like it kind of made sense with the image that he had cultivated.
Okay. With the nail polishes, were they direct to consumer or was it?
Yeah.
Oh, so there was no retailer.
You can still go to pleasing.com. How did he get pleasing.com?
Money.
I wonder how much.
Wow. Yeah. Was it like a hard candy sort of vibe? I don't even remember.
Interesting you say that because they have the bottle shapes are very like decorative. They have a big old like ball on top, but no
ring.
But
does it come with did it come with a jelly ring? And then no, you grabbed me.
But you've just pointed out a major missed opportunity.
Yeah.
But the other weird thing about Pleasing is they launched like Skims type merch.
Yep. Called the Pleasing, like these ribbed tanks. Mm-hmm. And ribbed boxer briefs. And then they launched fragrances for $135 a pop, which were very badly received by his fans. But then to me, the sign that Harry had left the building was, I was recently doing research on lip balms and I called in all of these lip balms or ordered them to try. And the Pleasing Lip Balm is $25. It's called Big Lip, and it's supposed to be plumping, etc. So it's in this aluminum tube, and you unscrew the top, and it's like a flat, like, you know, like a vitamin E stick, kind of like one of like those things.
Sure.
But you have to push from inside the tube to like get the product to come up, right? But anyone who's ever tried a beauty product or making a beauty product for someone else to use would know that like what goes up has to come down in order for the cap to fit back on. But this package doesn't allow you to retract. You can't, it's not, again, it's not twist up and twist down.
Do we think Harry Styles is reaching into his pocket for push pop lip product? Because I don't.
I don't think so either, but that's the narrative that we've been buying.
Also, I'm looking at the website, and above the fold, if I just saw the branding and the product, not knowing that it was nail polish, I would surely believe that this was some sort of sexual wellness brand.
Right.
The name would make you think that for sure.
And the font.
But that's my biggest problem with like celebrity beauty brands, and I don't really partake in any of them, is because I'm like, these people don't use this stuff. Like, that's very clearly a cash play to like sell to their audience, but like, I don't believe that they actually know what they're doing outside of like, if someone was a makeup artist or like an influencer, that like a beauty influencer, but just like celebrities, I'm like, no, you use like the best things on the market that aren't your brand. And then you're just making like cheap knockoffs of that to sell to like consumers.
Yeah.
100%. Like, Lara, didn't you also, or did you, I guess this is a question, did you hold Harry Styles to like a higher standard just because he's kind of like, he's become this rock star and is, you know, sort of like, I feel like considered an artist.
I mean, anytime a celebrity says they're coming out with a brand, like a beauty brand, I'm just kind of like, why? Like, why go through all that? Why put us all through this? Just like figure out a different, can't you just like play the stock market?
Or whatever happened to just celebrity spokespeople? Like just just hire them like a free agent, see if it works. And then they go work for another brand after that. Not everybody needs their own like junk.
I feel that deeply. I think the last thing we need is more product. And I know that obviously you guys do a lot of product development, but I think in general, we're good. Harry Styles coming out with fragrance at this price point, which is $135 and an $80 candle. Who's that customer?
And also, Elizabeth, beauty products are all we have. Like, I'm not a singer. I can't make a cameo in like a Christopher Nolan movie as like a hot soldier. Like, all I have is making beauty products. So, you know, my whole thing is like, leave it to us. You exactly. Have your thing. Ariana Grande sold how many albums? She doesn't need to kind of come into my territory and start making stuff that like I could be selling to like feed my family, you know?
I feel that deeply. But like, maybe you should be putting out an album is what we're hearing. Maybe this is the takeaway.
I think I'll spare everyone of that.
Has anybody tried the scents? I'm just really curious.
Here's what I will say about celebrity fragrances. I don't know if you guys know this, but the noses, who it's like the literal term of people that make, that develop a fragrance. They're like artists. The noses that make celebrity fragrances are the same people that make like Le Labo. So like, you know, the Santal 33, is that what it's called? 33, mm-hmm. That everybody wears. The guy that invented that is named Frank Vogel. Didn't we have him on the podcast, Nick? Making that up. So he also developed Curious by Britney Spears, and he takes every project as seriously as like the next. So like, you can't knock a celebrity fragrance just for being a celebrity fragrance, because it is made by like the same people who make like, you know, the...
No, I'm into a celebrity fragrance. I think that it's a great avenue to go in too, if you're going to be doing some sort of consumer product. I just think it should be like more Harry Styles forward, if that's what he wants to do.
He's got like 1 foot in and 1 foot out.
Yeah. I think that this one misses for me, as it's just, they actually shot too high.
Yeah, I'm not getting it. And I have even less interest in than I usually have, which is no interest. So this is getting an F for me.
I'm going to say a C. That was like a D for me. Next, I'm just going to go in chronological order. We're taking it to 2012 of Chroma Beauty, featured heavily on the shelves of drugstores in Ulta's. And this was the first beauty venture by the Kardashians. They did a very well-rounded product range, everything from nail polishes to lips to eyeshadow to faux lashes. I believe people really liked the lashes, from what I remember back in the day. They were sued for trademark infringement by the beauty brand Chroma, spelled K-R-O-M-A. Then there was a lawsuit by Hillier Capital that the Kardashians ended up winning $11 million.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So just some fun facts.
Wow. I'm actually kind of fascinated by that. We talk a lot about beauty trademark names over on the Old Eyewitness. But yeah, that's a silly one. I wonder what lawyer approved the name Chroma, because that is way too close.
Way too close. And the pronunciation being exactly the same.
But do we remember, I mean, I think we all probably do, that Skims was almost called Kimono. And would it have ever become the juggernaut, the one that made Kim the most wealthy Kardashian, had it been called Kimono? And like, did no one in legal or otherwise raise an objection?
Nick, I think about this all the time.
What could have been? It's like, it's what, another Gwyneth Paltrow movie, Sliding Doors.
Yes, exactly. I can't imagine Kimono being successful in the way Skims is.
No.
Can you? It's so gimmicky sounding.
If you can get a five-letter name, you're winning. Did you know also that Instagram will not give you a five-letter handle anymore?
Are all of them taken at this point?
They used to not even like get, if somebody else already created an account, they wouldn't even entertain the idea of giving it to someone else, even if the person was completely inactive and like hadn't ever posted anything on the account. Now they're more open to a conversation about like handing you over somebody else's account if it's inactive and you want the name. But I recently found out that if it's five letters or less, it's a no-go.
What's the thinking behind that?
It's just too valuable.
Too valuable.
Even if nobody else ever thought of this word except for me and that one other person. Because that's what's happening. I was able to trademark this name in all other categories, and like it is my name, but I can't get the freaking Instagram handle because it's five letters. Isn't that crazy?
And does it say, sorry, this is five letters, it's not happening, or is it just...
No, I'd had all this back and forth with the gorgeous, helpful... And I mean that, I think she's great. Christy Dash, who is like the head of beauty at Instagram. She was like trying to get it for me. And then she was like, oh my God, sorry, I forgot. Like we have this like stupid rule where it's five letters or less. We just cannot do that.
I hate that.
Zuckerberg said, not today, babe.
Fucking Zuck.
Speaking of billionaires, Kim Kardashian, what I admire about Kim and all, actually like probably Chris, if we're being honest, is they're not phased by failure. Like to the point that like Chroma didn't even last a year in drugstores. They had these lawsuits. It was a public embarrassment. They're just like, let's try again. all the clothing stores, the Dash Boutique, like they've had more failed businesses in terms of numbers than they have had successful ventures. And the it seems like the only reason that they've had successful ventures is by just throwing shit at the wall and seeing what sticks, right? Yeah. And I kind of admire that.
I mean, don't forget the Kardashian credit card.
We did a whole episode on the Kardashian businesses and really tracking the trajectory from spokesmanship all the way from licensing deals and then all the way to creating their own brands. And it is quite a journey. And I think that a good takeaway from that is you got to start somewhere.
You got to start somewhere. And if failure is the biggest, if failure is like the scariest thing that could happen, then this ain't for you. Get out of the kitchen.
That's right. So Chroma, RIP.
Our next product. Well, because it was, I think, going to be a brand and then it just became a product. Do you guys remember when Lady Gaga released her black colored fragrance called Fame?
I feel like I kind of remember this, but not like hugely.
Really? Okay. It was like enormous. It was really big for me. it made in partnership with Coty. This was during her whole like, remember that year she came to the Grammys like in an egg or something?
Sure. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so it was shaped like an egg with this like golden sort of like talons like on top of the egg. And the whole point of this fragrance, it was kind of a dark fragrance, but it was black in color.
So the actual mist was black?
The actual juice, as they say in the business, was black.
So if you're wearing like a white top.
Correct. And I think that, you know, number one, I think that to your like initial skepticism, Lara, the issue I think probably was that people understood, they could read that it was disappearing and that it wouldn't show up black on your clothes or wherever on your skin, but they were hesitant, as anyone should be when evaluating any type of beauty brand, let alone a celebrity beauty brand. But it smelled really good. And I will also say that it's like bottles of it, like unopened bottles of it, are going for $250 to $350 on Amazon and eBay. So there's like a market for this fragrance.
For black fluid.
This like,
yeah.
For black fluid. And what I like about it is this was my favorite era of Gaga when she was like, she was like not trying to be cool.
Yeah, she was like art kid.
Like there's like nothing cool about like coming to the Grammys in an egg or like wearing a meat dress, like all that shit. It was just like weird and bizarre. And now I feel like her new fragrances that she has are like Sarah Jessica Parker fragrances.
Can I ask, while we're here on the Gaga of it all, from the professionals, what are your thoughts on House Labs?
Oh, so many thoughts. Well, she shouldn't have launched on Amazon. Beauty on Amazon is just like, that's the end of the line.
True.
Either your brand has gotten so big that like you're expected to be on Amazon. And if you're not, you're creating a frustrating buying experience for your customers. But I think for any brand that like cares about their brand, they absolutely cannot be on Amazon. They've been trying to do like Amazon, luxury Amazon for years and years and years through fashion, through beauty. And it's just like, no thanks. We get it. It's a big warehouse. Things get mixed up. You're probably getting something fake and we're just not, or that's been used and returned. It's just no. And so that was a major miss. I hope she fired whoever did that deal for her. But we were really impressed. We talked about it on the pod with how quickly she was able to pivot, rebrand, completely rebrand, and then launch in Sephora. And she's actually gotten, I love the concealer. She's gotten good reviews on a lot of her other products as well.
I've been very concealer curious when it comes to House Labs.
It's good. It's really good. It's super creamy. I prefer it to the, you know, everybody loves the Kosas concealer. I prefer it to the Kosas concealer. I think it has a little bit more coverage, and but it's just as creamy.
Ooh, that's good to know. I saw a TikToker I follow whose taste I like was using House Labs foundation, and that kind of shook me. I said, I got to check this out, perhaps.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. People really like the foundation, too.
I think also the issue with the Amazon, it wasn't just a distribution model that was flawed thinking. It was also the product and like the positioning, which was like clean, like it was like about clean makeup and like freshness kind of. And that's not what you want from Lady Gaga and House Labs. You want like full coverage, pick up where Kat Von D left off, you know.
Like MAC Cosmetics kind of vibe.
Yeah, I think now she's moved more now into a long lasting, I'll wear this lipstick on stage and it won't smudge sort of narrative.
I've been thinking a lot about this one, and it is Item Beauty by Addison Rae. It came into our lives like a wrecking ball in 2020, I believe, and came out almost just as fast. I think last year or the year before, Sephora said we're parting ways with Addison Rae, and it like failed to connect with the consumer, which kind of shocked me because I was like, I thought Gen Z was all in on Addison Rae. And if I was gonna maybe go down like I would be more into getting an Item Beauty lip gloss than I would a Rare Beauty anything, but that's just me.
That's shots fired.
So to me, like, I agree. And I still think that Addison Rae is going to succeed. I think we haven't seen the last of her. She has that it factor that Charlie D'Amelio does not have. Not to compare women, but I think that it was a distribution issue. Like, Sephora wasn't the right place for an Addison Rae, like, cute little makeup line, which is like it was glosses and shadows, and it should have been like a Walgreens drugstore kind of thing that was like the new version of Wet n Wild. You know what I mean? Like, that would have made more sense for like her easy breezy personality and the consumers.
Yeah,
like in Sephora, you're buying more expensive, more premium stuff. And I know now there's all this like Gen Alpha is like ruining all the Sephora display product, but like, I just feel like the Sephora customer would be too critical of that anyway.
That makes sense.
I think the older or like the previous Sephora customer, but obviously it's been more very well documented this year that the customer has shifted a bit. It's gone a bit younger.
Well, I do remember the Sephora team because I worked with them to bring my brand into Sephora a while ago. And I remember them saying like the Sephora customer is not brand loyal. Like they don't really care about like the person behind the brand. They're really critical of like whether or not the product does what they want it to do. So I feel like celebrity brands in general and Sephora are tough. I think it works for Fenty and for Miss Selena Gomez because the products are actually really good quality, but I don't know if the same can be said about Item Beauty or one of our list items, which is JLo Beauty, which just got the boot from Sephora.
So they just sunsetted JLo Beauty. That's our breaking news.
May she rest.
JLo's having a bad year, I would say.
Wait, yeah. Why?
Because her documentary and Amazon thing flopped.
Yeah. I don't think that's doing what she thought it would do. And then I completely, until this very moment, forgot that JLo Beauty was even a thing.
And it was expensive. It was like her whole idea was super premium. Like, you know, let's look. A JLo Beauty like serum was $79.
You can't be saying that your item is a luxury product and then give it the hokey ass names that they gave it.
But if we know anything about JLo, it's that she's clearly surrounded herself with exclusively yes people. And that's how you make the greatest love story never told. What, that was the subhead. What was the headline of This Is Me dot 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 now? Yeah, like she's like, what if we called the cleanser That Hit Single? And everyone is like, J-Lo, yes, of course.
Glow and like, get
literally,
it.
Literally, yes.
Hydrating mist, that overnight hustle, that J-Lo
and
glow.
And she's like, but I want it to be fancy. And it's like, okay, then let's just like, it's bad. And I think the other issue that people had with the brand is when she launched it in an interview, I think with Women's Wear Daily, she said that really the only thing she credited for her like perfect skin at 55 was olive oil.
Yeah, that's going to alienate the consumer for sure.
Yeah.
Then why would I buy anything that you're selling?
Yeah, probably the fact that she has access to any and everything, and that's probably the culprit over anything else in terms of beauty.
I mean, we went from J-Lo literally using Creme de la Mer as a body cream, you know, in The Fabulous Life of on VH1 that's to right. Her saying that the only thing she uses, like what she credits her skin to, is olive oil.
I also really need to point out the name of her SPF was called That Big Screen. Oh.
Mm-mm.
Like what?
It's just misguided, and that makes me sad for
Do you think she was everybody. Weird before she became famous, or she became famous, or she became weird in the process of fame, like in becoming famous?
No, I think you have to be a total weirdo to become famous. You have to have like an outsized like sense of like self, and like your ego has to be so insane to go up and be like, anybody that can go up in front of people and perform, I'm like, you're insane.
Yeah. And I think also her manager is kind of a sinister gay. And so that's like a perfect person to coach like a diva into world dominating fame.
True. But it's like to lose, I mean, maybe she never had a sense of humor, which I think maybe is the truth. But to lose any semblance of self-awareness, let alone humor.
Oh, I definitely don't think she has a sense of humor about herself.
She doesn't.
That's very prevalent.
How sad were you guys that Ayo Edebiri had to apologize to her with tears in her eyes?
Speaking of podcasts, coming back to bite you in the ass.
I was just going to say, this could be an Ayo moment for any of us. And I celebrate that.
I'm just like, guys, like, have a laugh. Like, also, J-Lo, can we not agree that, like, your singing career is a scam? Like, can you not have a little bit? Like, can you not be in on any joke?
Yeah, also, what do you care? You're so successful. Like, does it really matter if this person who's, like...
It doesn't.
...just coming up now said, talk shit about you? Like, and it also seemed to me extremely classless that then J-Lo gave an interview saying that she apologized to her. I'm like, keep it to yourself.
Or like make a joke about it and be like, she tried to apologize. And I was like, you don't need to apologize. You know what I mean? Like, I guess we're hoping for something. I mean,
I don't think she had it in her.
20 million on that movie she did out of her own money. Let's just let that digest.
Did anyone here watch it?
Oh yeah.
Oh yeah, I've seen it.
I didn't
twice.
Even I actually have no idea what you're talking about.
So she did a visual album for her new album that came and went called This Is Me Now, and it's like a AI love story. I don't even know how it's very all over the place, and she ended up funding it entirely herself.
Damn.
The financing then dropped out and she
then
was
sold
like,
it to Amazon.
Nope.
Oof.
And it's a must watch. It's a must. And then there's a corresponding documentary, which is also a must watch. And
The first one wasn't a documentary. So there's two movies now that were. Oh my God.
It's a visual album of sorts.
Oh no. So she tried to
it's
do
like a musical,
Renaissance
I guess.
Or something?
Her version of what that is, which is. like it gives you the wrong impression of what goes on in her head, which is amazing. From like, if you're watching it ironically, you're like, oh my God, like this woman belongs in the insane asylum. And she also seems like she has low self-esteem and does not know how to pick men. But like,
and also like relies on men to like give her self-worth or something.
You get the wrong impression of her psyche. She got a little too vulnerable.
And Fat Joe is her therapist. Plays her therapist. Yeah, no, it's basically you have to see it immediately, but it's a huge what. 2017, this one I thought was no longer with us, but apparently it is. MDNA Skin.
Oh, we had the same thing written down.
Nice. I actually, in looking at the product range and revisiting the marketing of this, where she talks about its Japanese skincare influence, the rose spray. This was, as I believe, pre-face mist rose spray height of fame. So she was a bit ahead of the curve with that. She had eye masks, which, again, I think in 2017 hadn't hit as big as they ended.
Elizabeth. Yeah. I want you to stop talking in the past, because I'm on their website and you can still buy their $200 beauty roller.
Yeah, and I was going to say the
and
face
their
tools.
Rose mist.
The face
tools.
You can
buy it all. That is crazy.
At the time it launched exclusively in Barney's, so sorry.
That's a coup.
Yeah.
I know. At the time, huge. Now, not so great.
Huge. Right. But I think that in terms of being ahead of the curve, as Mijana has a history of being, she really, this range actually ended up launching products that ended up being really popular categories before they were popular categories, to my knowledge. You guys would probably know better than me.
I mean, I feel like a rose face mist has been around, like Heritage Rose, who did that horrible rebranding lately. Glossier had a rose face mist. I don't know if they still do. Unfortunately, a lot of people were allergic to it. Do you remember that, Nick? Oh my God. We were on set for a photo shoot and I told the makeup artist, and we had a redheaded, the fairest skinned beauty in all the land and model. And I was like, told the makeup artist, I was like, do not spray this face mist on her. And she was like, oh, this is a little mist. It'll be fine just to prep her skin. I was like, absolutely not. Do not. Don't try it. Use water. What does she do? She sprays the rose face mist on her. Had an allergic reaction. She was the only model for this shoot. We had to like pump her up with Benadryl.
Oh, shit. Oh, no.
So beware rose face mist. But Madge, I mean, listen, if I want my face to look like anyone, it is Madonna circa 2017. So I think MDNA is a winner. No?
I mean, the fact that it's still, you know, you can still order it, I feel like in and of itself is an achievement.
What are these protective mask sleeves that they sell for $15? Designed for use with the skin.
It's hard to tell.
Ultra thin, hypoallergenic, polyurethane resin. Our remover sheets protect the magnetic surface of their devices.
So when this launched, the big thing was like this weird, like $600 magnetic
mask.
Like magnet, essentially.
Yeah.
That was like a mask that like you used, it like had metal in it so that when you used this like wand over it, it like
pulled things out,
pulled it up.
I remember trying it.
How was it?
It was weird. It was a different sensation, but it was cool. It was just like incredibly high tech and a high price point.
I'm no expert on Japan, but I've never heard of anybody over there putting magnet cream on their face.
Mm-mm.
But I like that she had a beauty roller. That, I think, in 2017 was a bit novel. I remember the marketing for it. She went like full YouTube beauty influencer and really tried to grab that crowd and the whole.
I love when the girlies, the pop star or like actor girlies, like do those rounds.
Right.
When they're like they're on like Patrick Star and like Nikki tutorials, and like they have to like go on these things and pretend that they're like interested in whatever these like no names have to say.
Exactly. It was just a different route for her, but then I think it just like fell off. It isn't. I looked and it doesn't have any stockists. Oh wait, there is a store locator. I lied. Page not found. Yeah, no, no places to buy it except for the website.
I'm looking at all the Instagram comments right now, which is actually generous to say all the, because each post is averaging about 6 to 10 comments on them. But the most recent ones are like, any new products in the future? Why don't you have the eye serum anymore? Is the eye roller ever coming back? So it seems like maybe things are winding down for MDMA.
Aw.
I mean, it was her farewell tour, and maybe
the last post was from 6 days ago.
Mm-hmm. Oh, someone goes, you go. Are you planning for international shipping near soon? My country is Cyprus. I don't think the Cyprus fan is going to be getting any MDMA skin.
Yeah, they're going to invest in the Cyprus market. Aww.
To put that in perspective, guess when the last time Ageless by Ramona Instagrammed anything?
Tell me.
141 weeks ago.
But what, 2 years? That's pretty impressive.
I feel like you just have to deactivate.
Yeah, you should just close it down.
Yeah. And this poor person named Jane, where can I buy this product? I'm all out.
Oh, God. Jane. I have one that I want to rip on so bad because I do not like this guy. Nick, do you remember when this happened with our friend Jared Leto when I was at Into the Gloss? And he, like, his hairstylist got mad at me.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah.
He just did hair at a Trump wedding, so. Okay, back to the start. Okay, 29 Palms. Who remembers 29 Palms? Jared Leto's.
I do.
Oh, wow.
A true blink and you missed it brand.
Like, it wasn't that long ago that they announced that it was coming out. And then apparently, we were just reading up before we started recording, like 2 weeks after launch, the CEO that Jared had partnered with to launch this brand, like, exited the company. And all the products are, they all say coming soon. And they all look like AI generated, like, images or like mock-up images, you know, like
hilarious.
It doesn't.
Hilarious.
And yeah, it was inspired. There were moisturizing products inspired by the desert. Yeah, rather than just like take the L and like close down the site, for some reason it's still up. And Jared is also no longer involved.
Did it ever actually launch, or it just announced and then stopped at coming soon?
We may never know.
Fascinating.
But the funny story about, I think Jared takes himself very, very seriously. Speaking him, he and J-Lo have
can
that.
And confirm.
Oh, you have a Jared Leto story too?
Yep.
Okay, so I'll tell mine's quick. So when we were at Into the Gloss and we used to like do like fashion show cover or award show coverage or whatever, like we interviewed his hairstylist to ask about whatever dumb hairstyle he had. I don't know. It was like a low bun or something. I forget what it was, but it was like one of, it was like the obligatory, like, oh, we got to have a guy on the side. Mm-hmm. And so we got like a quote, whatever. And his hairstylist said something like, you know, we had to do it this way because, you know, his hair is so pretty. We don't want him to look like too much like a woman. Which like made sense. I'm like, yeah, give him a little edge. He's like a attractive guy. He has this like you said, ombre, like shiny hair. And so it goes live, whatever. And then I get this like furious like email saying like to take down the part where he said that he didn't want him to look like a woman and whatever, whatever. Like, it was just very bizarre. It was like the weirdest little detail that he like really was up in arms about. Anyway, I think your story is probably better, so please.
Well, I actually have two, but I'll be brief on both. One, I helped launch a luxury men's women's apparel brand called Cotton Citizen, and he had a company that they were sort of running our e-com slash helping us with distribution. I wasn't really involved in...
You hired Jared Leto to help with your back end?
Yeah, that's fascinating.
So bizarre. I wasn't part of that decision making, but that, I did.
That's like, talk about a leap of faith.
I know. I did end up going to his compound for some meetings multiple times, and it was just strange. He was very nice, but it was just like being on business calls with Jared Leto was just weird. I don't know what I else to say about it. It was just a weird moment. And then before that, when I was much younger, I ended up in a car with him going from some random magazine party to Coachella. And it was, you know, like when you're in Palm Springs and it's something that should take 10 minutes ends up taking 2 hours because there's so much traffic and it's so congested. So I ended up in the back of his car with three of my other friends trying to get into Coachella. But I guess the part that was challenging for me was I had just taken some MDMA before I got in the car and I started like peeking.
Some MDNA or MDMA?
I wish it was MDNA, but it was MDMA. And I thought it was going to be like a quick 10-minute ride. And I ended up like fully peeking on drugs with Jared Leto.
Oh, God.
Driving. And it
he was driving?
Yes. What happened was, is a friend of mine from back in the day was one of his producers and had ran into him at this party and was like, can we get a ride with you back to the festival? And he was like, let me check. He's like, oh, yeah, sure. Just meet me at the car. And it was Jared's car. And he was driving, and it was, and then my friends and I were texting while we were in the back seat with each other, and we were like, "We wish it was Jordan Catalano driving."
Jesus, take the wheel.
Yeah. So that was memorable.
That's a good story. I like that. I don't have any.
Do you think had there been another driver and he had been in the back seat with you that you would have hooked up or had sex with him?
I don't think he was into me like that.
Well, no, I just mean like you're on MDMA. It's not like if you're on MDMA with Jared Leto in the back seat.
He wasn't on MDMA. I was. It was like a solo journey.
He wasn't sober.
He might have been sober.
He reminds me of a guy that I knew in college named who is the most repulsive type of man. This guy would follow. He was friends with my friend Matt from Dallas, but we had all moved down to Austin, and Matt had a house with my boyfriend at the time, and so we were all over there, and that was like the hang spot. And then this guy named Tedavon started hanging around, and he was like at least 10 years older than all of us, and he always wore like robes and like, you know, like hippie like poncho type things, and he was a self-described healer. And I hated this guy. He was the worst. But you know, he was always around all the young girls wanting to heal them. And come to find out, his name was Ted Evans, and he was a Nepo baby from LA that like was just in Austin creeping on all the college girls, pretending to be a new age healer.
It's certainly a type.
He was Tedros.
Tedros?
From the Idol.
Oh my, yes. God. I only watched 2 episodes of that, but yeah, you're right. Yeah. Isn't it sad that we never saw like the real version where she was like a Britney Spears? Did you see like there was something on TikTok or Instagram the other day about, I guess, some thrifter found a whole box of like the original merch. Yeah.
Yeah. Gold.
Would have been so much better. I know.
Oh, poor Lily Rose. I wanted more for her. There's still time. There's still time.
There's still time.
She'll be fine.
She'll be great.
I also think like she is a star. Like Lily Rose is a star.
Totally.
She has what it takes.
Mm-hmm. She has star power.
I've got one more.
Let's go.
Okay, it was going to be Lauren Conrad Beauty, but who cares?
Ooh,
I'm now pivoting to Gwen Stefani because I am so utterly confused.
Yeah.
Are you talking about Gixiv? Give, yeah. With an X and a V?
Yeah, Gixiv. It's basically like a Mary Kay model.
Oh, I love a celebrity MLM.
Exactly. And so on the website, you can become an ambassador and then sell the product. Mm. So she really said, we got to have a gimmick. And I have questions. I just want to know. It also feels like the red lip, black eyeliner, if it had come out 20 years ago from her, it would have crushed.
Did Lamb Love Angel Music Baby ever have makeup?
They had fragrance. Cause then I know that because I owned it.
I had some stilettos that I used to walk all around New York City in when I was an intern.
Wow.
I also had a leather bag from her that I paid. It was the most expensive bag that I had ever gotten at the time. I still have it.
She's another one who doesn't seem to have a sense of humor.
Yeah.
She bums me out because I think, you know, like I was a huge No Doubt fan, like Return of Saturn and
huge
Tragic Kingdom and even Hella Good. What was that album? Like I could, oh, that the song Cool. Oh, she was just like mm-hmm. everything.
Yeah.
And she embraced like beauty, but in her own way. Like she was a makeup girly, she was like a rhinestone girly, she did her hair and she Jean Harlow and whatever. And then she did this like massive pivot, like once she became a judge on a show and just turned into like Ellie Goulding. Her and Ellie Goulding look like the same person to me right now.
Oh, interesting. Yeah, I think my biggest, I think it's hard when some of these women, I think Madonna too, when they're so in their own lane and such innovators and so inspiring, and then they sort of make this weird turn into like run of the mill, it is no longer exciting.
Well, I think also the one thing that unlocked the secret to Gwen Stefani to me that I learned from an interview that she did with Dax Shepard on Armchair Expert, she's like she is and has always been like a deeply religious Christian.
Oh yeah.
I didn't know that.
Doesn't that all kind of make it all make sense?
A bit. And also like the Orange County to like Oklahoma City.
Yes.
Like pipeline and the Blake Shelton of it all. That really does.
Evangelical. No, I don't know if evangelical, but like very, very, no, this was like born and raised like very religious,
like
and like has always been a very devout Christian.
Oh, Gwen
like
was?
Mega church Christian.
Yeah.
Oh.
OC and Oklahoma are very aligned in that way.
Oh. I think my biggest issue with the Gicks, by Gwen Stefani is the font. It is a little too hella good. And I think that we, as a community, have evolved and we need something a little fresher. And I think the font can say everything about a brand. And so it's a no for me.
Yeah. She used to have like the coolest references. Like I get that like they were very problematic, but I feel like she could have pulled from somewhere else and made her own like unique, exciting branding, but.
Entirely.
It would be kind of cool, yeah, cool and cunt, I would even say, to do like an evangelical Christian branded beauty line using that kind of like font and iconography, whatever that may be. Like we haven't seen that.
Wait, let's do it.
It'd be edgy.
Let's do it. Let us four, let's do that because that, yes.
As a Jew, I think I could bring a lot to that.
Nick's
idea.
Jewish.
I love that.
We're half
Nick.
And half.
I know that our cameras are off, but
Listen, I
would be able to tell just by looking. Things you can tell just by looking.
I grew up not evangelical. I was Methodist, but I did go to the Baptist church because they had the cuter boys when I was a teenager. So I get it.
Very quickly, Blake Shelton built a Catholic church on his property for on his Oklahoma ranch for Gwen Stefani. She divorced Gavin Rossdale in 2016, but then got that marriage annulled in 2019 because, quote, they want to make sure they have God on their side.
You know who else went full like Catholic is Kat Von D.
Oh no, she was like baptized recently. Like, and I don't think it's Catholicism.
Oh, Gwen. Sorry, I'm getting it all mixed up. Gwen is evangelical.
No, Gwen is a Catholic. And Kat Von D, I think, is the Church of Crazy.
What? And they both are selling liner.
Correct. Well, anyone who is getting baptized at the age of 42 in like a pool, like in like a, you know, in a
Tamara
pool.
Judge style?
Something. Yes.
You're kooky. You've lost a plot a bit.
You're kooky.
But what I'm learning a lot right now, just from like a brief glimpse of market research, is that there is not one emerging like singular and popular faith-based cosmetics company. So I just feel like this is a huge gap in the marketplace that could be, people need to take advantage of this is what I'm saying.
Oh, I have a friend that did a military-based cosmetic company, and they're printing money.
Wow, that's a smart end too.
Because let me tell you how it works. On the military bases, they have stores, and those stores love to buy from brands that, you know, are military or related to the military somehow. And so they have like automatic orders, you know, at like every military base. And those people, if you live on the base, you can't, I mean, you're not, I don't know, I'm sure you could like order from Sephora or whatever, but like if you're just like bored and out to shop, you're buying, you know, Bravo Sierra. Yeah. So I think we got something here. I think we should do this. I think we should do bath bombs, but for the baptisms.
Ooh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Ooh. There you go. But don't you think that the fact that Gwen's is an MLM, that it's slightly already a bit skewed into a religious market?
Wait, Gwen's is an MLM?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What?
You can become a Give ambassador.
Oh, no.
And then you sell it from your living room or your social media platform or your Facebook. Which I can't tell if I love this. If I love this and I like that they found their own little lane. Because then I think she does like group calls and stuff with her top ambassadors and that sort of thing. Or if she doesn't do that, she should. Like, people get to connect with Gwen. And I think with somebody who has a following like that, that might be the smart way to play it.
Truthinadvertising.org is not going to like that.
Oh, yeah. Nick loves exposing an MLM. He did a whole episode. I had to bow out because I was scared. I didn't want old Greg to come after me.
Come up against the man.
Does anybody here, I feel like this is the group to ask, have any intel of what... Are we still getting Lala? What is going on with Give Them Lala?
That's a great question.
I feel like Give Them Lala was the same person that's giving us Lisa Rinna lips. Like, it's all that same production, and then they're just changing the branding slightly.
But yeah, so I didn't understand what she was saying on the last episode. So she's saying like, is Giving Them Lala still existing at all? Because she said, wasn't she like, I'm Give Them Lala, but the brand is its own thing? So I'm confused.
She needs like any smart business person, she's just now thinking that she doesn't want her identity inextricably sort of attached to the brand, you know, that she creates. She wants to create some psychic distance. So she's taking herself out of the brand name.
How would you brand Lala in this upgrade?
I mean, I would put her on HSN QVC because she's so fun with like answering, you know, like viewer questions and shit. Right.
Well, she's kind of doing that on Amazon Live currently.
Oh, she is? Okay. Yeah. Well, she doesn't need me then. And I would just make it super like sexy and like sexual and maybe edible.
Bring it back to shimmers and
yeah,
a sex or like masturbation, like a self-pleasure line would be really good for her.
Like a candy-coated nights kind of vibe.
That's Candy Burris's
sexual wellness.
Wow, yeah. Mm-hmm. Something like that would go far. I think also with her like recent, like she's just getting the sperm donor and having the kid herself is like a DIY approach to like pleasure. Also aligns yeah. with that.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
What if she just called it Give Them? Oh, maybe that's
what if she called it. Yeah, what if she called it Give with an X? No, I'm just kidding.
Give them beauty, give them skin.
Yeah, okay. Give them hair.
Give them body.
Not your Lala's hair. Not your Lala's. What is that?
No, she wants to take the name Lala out of it.
Yeah, exactly. Not lips. Your Lala's.
I don't know. I don't know if we need any product from Lala.
I know. I'm like, what has she influenced me to do?
The best career path that you can now have from being on that show is the Ally route and doing one-on-one astrology readings. I think she's going to make a killing.
Yeah.
You know who else? I mean, honestly, though, and again, not to be inappropriate, but the amount of money she could make on OnlyFans, and she doesn't have to be like having hardcore sex, but like, if she launched it while the show was on, and that was like a plot line, she'd be making hundreds of thousands of dollars a month.
Wait, for why hasn't anyone done an OnlyFans on Vanderpump Rules?
Yeah, I mean, there's Denise Richards.
Great question.
They're not taking notes.
Yeah,
I don't know.
That's actually bizarre. They could just show like a hint of cleave. They wouldn't even
Jax
have to do nothing. Any of the guys
like Bella Thorne,
like Tom Sandoval should start an OnlyFans.
Peter Madrigal.
He needs it more than anyone.
I mean, is he still managing? Oh no, I guess Sir doesn't exist anymore. What is he managing?
He is still the manager of Sir, but he was offered a deal to come back to the show for $0 or to not come back to the show. And he chose not to.
Okay. I mean, that's a tempting offer.
I know. So like OnlyFans it is. Plus I think like every gay guy I've ever talked to about Vanderpump Rules or
I want to see his dick.
It's Peter all the way. Like he would clean
up. Because he's like a sweaty good lover who's like not attractive enough that he didn't have to work hard for it, you know? Mm-hmm. He's like just unattractive enough that he probably is good at sex and cares about your pleasure.
I don't get that vibe from him whatsoever, but I appreciate the perspective.
I don't know.
Good lover.
He has a lot of self-confidence for a guy that is like...
I don't trust the hair.
Okay.
Speaking of beauty brands, Heroin by Peter Madrigal. He had his own hair brand.
No.
No, he didn't.
No.
He did. This just jogged my memory.
Peter.
Hold, please.
Oh, my God. If you Google him, it goes Peter Madrigal, film director. Hair brand.
The main thing I've learned today is his last name, because I've never thought to know it.
Another 2017 throwback.
Madrigal.
Yeah, I believe it was called Harrow.
What are we doing with all these defunct brands and their social accounts?
Well, great question. Shop My Harrow as 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 letters. So you could get it if you wanted it from Christy Dash.
Oh.
I think Instagram should be doing calls. I'm like, if you haven't posted on your account in 2 years, it's no longer your account. That's my feeling. That's an idea for Zach. He can have that for free.
He doesn't have OnlyFans.
Peter. Does Jax?
Yeah.
Jax does. We had Jax, we had make us a cameo when we first launched the pod.
Oh, I love that.
And we specifically asked him to say that he hated the pod. So,
so I love that.
So that people would rebel and listen. But he didn't really give us what we wanted, did he, Nick? He was kind of like, no, no, no. I know you guys want to think I'm a bad guy, but I'm a good guy. Anyway.
I got one when I got engaged. My friend got me one from Ramona. And then she forgot that she had gotten it for me and gave it to me a year and a half later. And that was fun.
Well, that's a nice surprise.
Yeah. It's always nice when Ramona Singer says your dog's name, you know?
Oh, wow.
It's just like an important thing.
Yeah. You're getting your money's worth with that call out.
Exactly. Exactly. What a haul, right? Have we covered the history of some failed brands?
I think we've only scratched the surface, but I'm exhausted. I mean,
yeah, a good haul will do that to you.
Yeah.
Nick and Annie, your show, I know that this might also run on your show, but I have to say I'm the biggest fan. I love it so, so much.
Well, the feeling is mutual. I've learned a lot about, I have a lot of new subreddit. I quit Reddit a while ago, but you might have sucked me back in.
I think it's good to take a break.
I will add to the subreddits. There's like Century Homes. If you haven't been on that one, that's a great.
I have not.
That's a great one. They're such nerds about maintaining the integrity of Century Homes.
That sounds right up my alley. Also, Nick, your husband knows my entire life because he's been doing my face since he started at Good Skin.
He really takes doctor-patient confidentiality seriously, and so I did not know any of that.
Love that.
This episode was edited by AJ Mosley and produced by Jonathan Kornman. If you enjoy the show, like and subscribe to Eyewitness Beauty on whatever podcasting platform you love and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. 5 stars, please. Subscribe to our Patreon, where you'll find exclusive content, including Annie's thirsty makeup tutorials and extended video episodes and our monthly bonus episodes.